Bottom line, you don't feel close to God because you're busy, you're tired, you're fatigued, and some of you are just going through the motions spiritually. I'm just starting a list here, okay? Look inside, my friends. Find it. What is busyness causing in you that you really don't like about yourself? You wish you could change it. Let that settle in. What I want to do is boldly proclaim this weekend that God has created for us more than this. More than this. He created for us a better life than the rat race. He has created something for you and your marriage, or you and your friendships, or you and your employees that's deeper, way better. Great verse, Psalm 119. Look at it in your notes. By the way, it is a little warm in here. I don't know if it's just me, but these seems a little warm. Okay. Psalm 119. You made me. You created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. Isn't that good? So you've done this. My gosh, I can't imagine. Give me the sense to follow your commands. You're the creator. Now show me the way. Give me the courage to follow it. Not the secular system of time management. God, I want to follow your commands. I've been following my commands, and my life is busy and out of control, and I'm overwhelmed. A little bit of an aside here, okay? This weekend, I'm not going to look for or ask you to take a 180-degree turn. Track with me here. 180 degrees is overwhelming, and it may overwhelm a lot of people in your life or your employees if you're a boss. I'm not asking for you to turn that quickly. But what I am asking you for is to consider maybe a 10-degree change. Try it. Something small, okay? Something that is manageable. 10 degrees, and look at what this change over a little bit of time will allow your life to do. You can stand up here or stand before your friends and over time say, I haven't made a 180-degree change all at once, but I have made a lot of these little 10-degree changes, and they're working in my life. And I'm going to help you with that this morning. Over a period of time, chart a new course. That's what I'm going after, is how you can make small adjustments that over time look huge. How many of you think you can make a 10-degree change instead of a 180? Anybody? Y'all put your hands up for me. Help me out. All right, good. Yeah. I'm coaching basically two teams right now. I'm helping out with this. I've got full-time this. I know I have to constantly look at each one. What are some changes in each one? It's manageable. What's doable? Last week when I talked about conflict, I gave you four of these words that had to deal with conflict. And we talked about ouch, what, who, what. Remember that? Say it with me again. Here we go. Ouch, what, who, what when dealing with conflict. Ouch, that hurt. What caused that? What was my part in that? Who in the world am I affecting by this conflict? May not just be the one in front of me. It may be my kids that are listening to it too. And then, what is my part in changing that conflict? Apologizing, forgiving. Last week was powerful with that lesson. This week, 24-7-1. That's what I'm hoping to do. Up front, I'll tell you what I'm trying to do. Change the way you think about time. My gosh, does this hit home. I'm emailing John at like 3 in the morning last night. I just woke up. This is what needs to happen. And I had no problem waking up and sending the email until it hit me. Dang it, it's 3 in the morning. I was sound asleep and just woke right up in it. And sometimes God will do some of that with some of you. You'll wake up and write something down and go right back to sleep again. The problem is I sent it and I thought, I probably just woke up John. And Carol Ann. Oh, nice. So my busyness affected someone else. Even though I may have heard from God on something, the timeliness of that probably could have waited. But I sit back and I see how these things kind of manage, and they infiltrate our lives and others too. For you to figure out, what does that mean for the world that I live in right now? Let's start with 24. Next to 24, write this down. There are enough hours in my day. There are enough hours in my day. This is what I call the theological foundation. This is God's design of time. 24 is a gift from God. He's given me 24, okay? You can make it bigger and say there's 1,440 minutes or 86,400 seconds. It doesn't matter how you slice it. It's consistent and it is constant. And where it sits, you get 24. You don't get more than me. I don't get more time than you. Bill Gates' wealth can't buy him any more at the end of the day. Ted Williams' frozen head isn't going to get him any more time. Martha Stewart and all of her beautiful creations of fabric and pine cones aren't going to make it longer. All these things. Time is time. God's given us 24, and that's what we get. It literally is a gift from him. And time management gurus will say this, and I have been guilty of this up until about 3 years ago. Here it is. You've got to make the time. You've got to make the time. That's what people say, okay? They try to trick you into this thinking, and it's just phraseology, okay? You've got to make the time. That is literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and I said it, okay? You can't make the time. You cannot do that. You must be a good steward of the time. Amen? You can't make the time. You do, your body's going to break. God gave you 24 for a reason. He knows how much you can handle. So what you can look at here is, I need to do the best with what he's given me. Making the time is simply bad theology. God has already done that for you. Okay, Genesis 1, look at it. Then God said, "Let great lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them mark off the seasons, days, and years." God is the author of time. Worrying about getting more time doesn't give you any more time. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said in Matthew 6, look at it. You cannot add any time to your life by worrying about it, okay? So would you be honest with me in this, okay? Who in here would admit to saying that on occasion or regular basis you're thinking to yourself or say it out loud, "I wish I had more hours in my day"? That's every single hand up in here except Matt, and he's working the technical stuff. So, okay. Yeah. Next time you say that, let me give you a word for it, okay? Blasphemy. Bottom line, all right? Put that in your calendar and smoke it. Blasphemy. I'm sorry. That is not right. It's when you think you have a better idea of how God has done things. It's when you have a better idea of what God has set up, and it should be spent the way you think, rather than the way God thinks. That you've got a grander scheme than God has for your day. You can't do that. And God hasn't given you too much to do in a 24-hour period of time. He hasn't done that. So if you're sitting here going, "I wish I had more hours in a day," the agenda has not come from God. Are you tracking with me? Some of you guys are getting offended right now. Think about it. Where has that agenda come from, my friends? If you're just overworked and you don't have enough time to get it done. Who has put that together? Not our Creator. God has designed the world within 24 hours in each day and has set a course from you that fits perfectly in the time that He's given. And I know this sounds very profound, and you're sitting here going, "Okay, where's the theology in this?" I'm telling you, this is how we burn out. Okay? Church, ministries, serving, all these things can burn you out if you come to church a lot. Jesus doesn't do that. Our Creator doesn't do that because He's designed something to say there is rest for you and your soul. So if you're too busy and you've done more things than you should do in that 24-hour period of time, and it's beginning to resent and that sleep is an unproductive time for you, and I do know someone like that. He's literally Harbor Patrol, and he's this guy with scuba, and he's over here doing this, and he's like up all the time. I'm like, "Go to bed, dude." You know, he works here. He's one of my good friends. He serves in this ministry, helping out all the time. We're all just sitting there. I kind of laugh, like, "Man, does this guy burn the candle at both ends?" And then there's this crash and burn period, and I'm like, "Oh, man, I should have said something." It's called broken thinking, okay? That's what's broken, is what you've done with your time. Something here has gone whack. And write in your notes next to broken thinking that points to insecurities. This is out of my personal journal, folks. I'm not up here telling you anything that I haven't experienced myself. But broken thinking comes from the difficulties you struggle with insecurity. When I push these buttons in my life, I look at busyness and I really evaluate it. Here's what's happened. I chose to do too many things in my day. Notice the words, okay? I chose. It is a choice. Nobody holds a gun to my head and forces me to do these things. Remember the dragon that I talked about, the dragon that's inside, wants to be loved and valued and accepted, okay? We do things and we make decisions to say things on wanting to please and wanting to value and wanting to be loved. That's the deal, okay? Here's the question. If you want to go deep, okay, maybe for a journal, maybe for a small group, an accountability partner, what are my insecurities contributing to in my busyness? I'd take this to a close friend, okay? What are my insecurities doing to me in this busyness? How is my busyness looking as a result of these things? So just kind of flip the question around and look at it. If you really want to go after something, you don't want to stay on the surface, how are these things contributing to your busyness? Because 24 is a gift of time. It's all God's given us. It's all He's wired you for. He hasn't wired you, forcing you to make those decisions to fill up all 24. So that's the first number. Second number is this, the number 7. Okay? Next to 7, write a weekly rest. In addition to the gift of 24 hours, God's given you something that's called a Sabbath. And He set that up. We've heard this word many times. It's not just a churchy word. You've heard this word growing up as a kid, possibly. It's weekly rest. Exodus 16, this is where we go. Look at this verse. Do they not realize that I've given them the seventh day, the Sabbath, as a day of rest? All right? Some of you are more familiar with Black Sabbath, okay? Ozzy Osbourne. Band than you are with biblical Sabbath. For some of you who are familiar with biblical Sabbath, things are thinking here in the back of your mind. Isn't that old school? You know? Isn't that ancient? Isn't that like religious talk, like Old Testament stuff, Pastor? I mean, I've heard that word. Isn't that a little irrelevant for today? I mean, I've heard that in older churches before. And now you're reading Exodus, you know? No. Actually, today, the way you and I should live and have a Sabbath, it's totally relevant. School starts on Wednesday. Boy, do you need a Sabbath, some of you guys. All right? Teachers, this is it, man. The Sabbath is the one day of 7 for resting and focusing on God. As a matter of fact, it was such a big deal to God that God put the Sabbath in His top 10. The 10 commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not skip church on Sundays. Right there in the, sorry, I had that one. Okay, right in the middle to obey the Sabbath. It's right there in the middle, okay? Exodus 20, remember to observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days a week are set apart for your daily duties, regular work. But the seventh day is the day of rest. Dedicated to who? Thank you, the Lord your God. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, everything in them. Then He rested on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart to be holy. Underline set apart. Set it apart. It's this. Let's make this day different. That's what the Sabbath is. Okay? Can you play golf on the Sabbath? If you're resting. It's saying to set it apart, and not just for yourself to rest, but to focus. Get your focus back. If doing something else is going to turn into more distraction for your life, and you're out of rest physically, then I say cut it, okay? Golf is not evil. Golf is not wrong. But if your Sabbath day is supposed to be literally physically and emotionally and spiritually letting your life renew, then adding even something as recreational as that could be one too many things. So factor it in. 3 words in your notes, okay? And we're coming to them in just a second. But He actually ceased here. And these words are huge. The rest, renewal. Some of you in here are not resting at all. You're actually trying to outperform God. Good luck with that one, okay? I've done that. Think of it like this. When God created the universe and His recipe for the universe, He put in His recipe the DNA of the universe, Sabbath, a weekly rest. Meaning part of this reason you and I need rest is because God, the one who designed it Okay? God himself said that we need rest. He spoke it into being. These words, rest, renew, refresh. Rest, renew, refresh. Here's what I think about for the Sabbath. I want to rest my body. I want to refresh my relationships. I don't want to run from people. If I need to be with people, it's a good day to rest and hang out. I want to renew my love for God. That's what I want to do on the Sabbath, seventh day. And by the way, for me, Sunday's not really a Sabbath, okay? I'm not being legalistic on when you have your Sabbath. As a matter of fact, the Jewish Sabbath is sundown on Friday to sundown when? On Saturday, yeah. They set it up differently than what you or I may set up. Whatever it is, you work six and you rest one, okay? By the way, this is going to sound a bit bold, but if you're not obeying the Sabbath, you're disobedient to God. Somebody had to say that to me, somebody that really cared about me, and I say it to you in love. Don't disobey God. Disobedience has consequences. Your body will ache. Your relationships will bruise. Your soul will atrophy. And some of you are thinking, but this is Catalina! Oh my gosh, how can I stop? I've got to keep working. I've got two jobs. I mean, the median house here, Hobbs, is $700,000. How in this world can I ever stop or slow down? And by the way, when I do take a day off, I've got so much to do at home, I'd rather be at work. Home doesn't even help me anymore. What some of us have done is we've traded one toil for another toil. That's all we've done. We've traded one for another. Bring it home on a day off isn't a time when you're resting your body and refreshing your relationships and renewing your love for God. I'm not suggesting that you sleep in and watch TV all day, okay? Although sleeping in is rest for your body, you're just getting back into those relationships and refreshing yourself, renewing your love for God. It brings a new perspective, and it's God's design. And if you don't want to live by God's design, obviously that is your choice. I've had to make it in the past. You have to make it as well. And we're talking about a new way of thinking. 24, God has given us all the hours we need. 7, a weekly rest. Let's look at number 1. Here it is, okay? A daily pause. This is where once a day you pause to pay attention to what's going on between you and God. This is what Reed was saying last week. Our Navy SEAL was going, my pause was all I had. And sometimes I'd be in the middle of a long workout, and I literally had to turn around and get through my workout by using that time with God. Okay? That's what he'd say. At least once a day. Jesus set this up for us. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. He's the example. He is God. And he's got this whole God thing going for him. Even though he was Jesus, he is God. And he still paused. God the Son paused to spend time with God the Father. Mark 1, the next morning Jesus awoke long before daybreak, went out alone into the wilderness to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. They're like, hey, everybody's been asking for you. Where have you been? We got your cell phone for a reason with, you know, the ringtone, everything's on there. Hey, come on, Jesus, you're in high demand. Ministry is going full steam. We're waiting for our assignment. Where are you? Where have you been? What's going on? Let's go, Jesus. What did Jesus say? No. He said no to nonstop accessibility. Great example. Jesus, God in the flesh, didn't heal everyone. That may be hard for some of you to hear, but he didn't heal everyone. He didn't meet everybody's demands. He said no to nonstop accessibility because he didn't care for people, but because he simply knew he had to occasionally pause. Not because he didn't care for people. Not because of that. He knew he needed a pause. He had to slow down in order to care for people correctly, in order to do the ministry God set him out to do. He was in check, not because he didn't care. Our life has to be more than just working and eating and sleeping and relating and watching TV. We need to pause. Beg God for his cure, for the compulsion to keep busy. If you just run through life being busy, you're going to be a shadow. Not my words. Great verse here. Look at Psalms 39. We're merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in what? Did you catch that? I hope you're offended. Oh my gosh. Disturb us, Holy Spirit. Here it is. It all ends in nothing. A moving shadow. What does that mean? It means no substance, no depth, just a shadow. It's resulting in nothing. So why do we pause? To ask God to reveal in us the meaning, the direction, the purpose in our lives, to get us going. Let's go after surgery. What needs to take place? What's that surgical to-do list? Two actions to work on this week. Deal with my insecurities. Go after them. Deal with your insecurities, okay? Got to be willing to deal with them. You might be going, are you saying the reason I'm busy is because I'm insecure? Absolutely. You've discerned the clue. You've got too much going on. You need to scale back, prioritize better. You need help in time management. Yeah, but if you say that, that's just a Band-Aid. Okay? Go deeper. Go deeper. The adventure of following Jesus, an exciting adventure. 1 John 3, see how very much your Heavenly Father loves us, for He allows us to be His children, and we really are. See, when you're born, you're a creation of God. When you receive Jesus, you're a child of God. It's worth getting to know your dad, not just being a part of the 6 billion that are in His creation, but a part of His kingdom. I need my dad. I need time with my Father. You're His child. That's different. They don't want their kids to keep making the same dumb mistakes. Hang out with your dad. Just don't want your kids to do that. Your Heavenly Father is going to take you further than you ever have. If you've lost your earthly father, you can still be fathered. Amen? Amen? The good Father is waiting to hang out with you and take you where you need to go, or in those uncharted places where the earthly dad didn't. Your Heavenly Father, your earthly father turns around and says, I'm still here to father you. Let go. Hang out. Spend time with me. And I know some of you are going, I love you, Andrew. Quit trying to earn love. Quit busying yourself for approval and acceptance and worth. God's saying, I love you. Slow down. You don't need to do this for my love. It's not that. Okay? But if you were to study the Bible and you were to find all the verses where it said God's love, He loves you and He wants to spend time with you, there's not one verse that says you have to achieve more or do more. No one lays on their deathbed and says, I wish I had worked more. No one. Okay? I really love you. It's not tied to performance. Okay? Reason some of you, we can't get it up and get it going on. We can't understand that. Can't feel it. It's because we're not living it out. Our whole life is back to childhood, and we were met with this approval or disapproval. If we did good, okay? We brought good report cards home. We took the trash out without being asked. Approval, okay? Approval. We learned as children how to perform. People are pleased when I do these things. When we achieve, people shower us with love and affection. If we don't get it, we're withdrawn, okay? Insecurities, running around trying to get all these things and things in dark places, perhaps, straightened out. That's not the way God has it. The second one I want you to write down is discover your security. So let's turn the corner. You're looking for the things that you are secure in and can be. If you're going to deal with your insecurities, you've got to replace it with a security. Security would be to find out that you're secure in God. Discover His love for you. What can you be secure in? He loves me. We wouldn't busy ourselves in the world. We would rest in the presence of God if we thought about His love for us. Okay? Luke 10, great, great scripture. Mary and Martha, one of them is literally sitting at His feet and the other is going crazy inside. And she's like, why don't you tell my sister to just get up and come in here and help me out? Jesus just straightens this whole thing out and He simply says, she's doing what she needs to do. This is what you need to do. You need to pause. You need to be at my feet. Busyness here is not helping you. Busying ourselves. Some of us, when you think and you look in your life, you're looking at security And I want you to think in terms of some great wealth that maybe you've been tested on, that maybe it doesn't bring security. More wealth brings more insecurity. So let God bring your wealth. Let God bring the things to you that you see He has blessed you with, so that you can be secure in Him all along. Certainly people that win the lottery are very happy for a period of time. And a lot of them end up taking their lives as a result of all of that money came very quickly and the structure was not behind it in their lives personally. And they blew it, and as a result, their lives were blown. If God is blessing you with wealth, then trust God and be secure in that wealth. God is giving me this. I will bless Him with it, however it looks. Amen? Yeah, it fits. It goes together. Some of you have tasted that too. You've been in positions where people have looked up to you, and you know how fleeting that is and how that comes and goes. So what is real security? Living your life at the feet of Jesus. Living your life, finding security in God. You've discovered it. It's in God. It's not in others. I told you I wanted to leave you with a new equation, a new way of thinking about time. The one on the front of your notes is the one we currently live in. Let me give you a biblical equation. 24, there is enough hours in my day. 7, a weekly rest. 1, a daily pause. My friends, it equals a blessed life. Not a busy life, but a blessed life. If our band could come up. What does a blessed life mean? It's kind of a churchy word, blessed life. If you and I were to go out to dinner tonight and sit and eat, just eating, and we were knee to knee and we were eye to eye, do you want a blessed life? Chances are you say yes. But you say, what does it mean? Full and effective with God's favor. My life is full, but it's effective in God's favor. That's what a blessed life is. Not a busy life, but a blessed life. Throw off the Band-Aids. Dive in with surgery into those insecurities. You got to do your part. Allow God to do His part. Amen? Pray with me if you would. Father, thank You for the way that You've brought Labor Day weekend as it's approaching. We're grateful for that. We certainly look forward to that. But as we slow down and pause and pray, maybe you're sitting here and you said yes to everybody. You said yes to everything. You've never said yes to a relationship with God. You might have said yes to attending church or yes to a small group, but you've never said yes to a relationship with God. That's where the surgery begins. That God would take the first slice in your heart. Maybe you've never done that. You'll do it right now, just in the silence of your heart. Just say something simple like this. God, I want a relationship with You. I don't know what that fully means, but I want a relationship with You, and I don't want to do it on my own anymore. Would You forgive me of my past? I invite You to be the manager of my life. That's all it takes. It just takes heart, and a heart that is repentant, that wants a relationship with Him. Maybe you're here today and you're already a follower of Christ, but you know you're too busy. You need to confess that and say, God, I don't want to live like this. I know in my heart of hearts this is not the adventure You set before me. God, would You give me the courage to deal with my insecurities and the wisdom to know that You can be and are my security. I want to live my life at the feet of Jesus.